In Jesus' name, we pray. You may be seated for the meantime. I'd like us to turn to the book of Ephesians. Do not forget where we started yesterday. Book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. So that we can study. Paul was such a unique man. He was a strategic man that was placed towards the realization of the plan of God. And in order for that which God had in his mind concerning Paul to find expression, there was a notable experience that he had to have. And that was the experience that he had in the wilderness of Arabia. And God confronted him with the revelation of his eternal purpose. That which God had in his heart even before he set out to create and to establish the foundations of the world. And if you know God at all, it is that which he has proposed in his heart that eventually finds expression. Doesn't matter how long it takes, God will not compromise that which he has intended to achieve. The book of Ephesians gives us an insight, a window into the eternal purpose that Paul was able to capture from the heart of God. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we see a presentation of that purpose. And I would like us to take advantage of a few verses as we build from where we stopped yesterday. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul begins, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and true and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. I would like us to pay closer attention to verse 4 and verse 5. Because in verse 4 and verse 5, Paul is taking us directly into the heart of God. The secret that was sustained upon the heart of God that bettered the purpose of God. The secret that was concealed for so many generations. The prophets tried to peep into it, but it was not the time for its revelation to yet come. They spoke about it in types and shadows, not even knowing the things that they declared. But in the days of Apostle Paul, God decided to unravel that mystery that was upon his heart, which is what we see and know today as God's eternal purpose. Let's look closely now. Let's look closely. In verse 4, the Bible says that there was a manifestation of the authority of God. Because the Bible says that God chose us in Himself. If you were here yesterday, I said that even before we were born, we existed in the mind of God as a seed of eternity. Hallelujah. So we're existing, but we're not yet in this form that we know. But you were right there, and your calling was with you, and the grace that God had ordained you to walk in was with you, even in that realm. So the Bible says, by an act of God's authority, we were chosen in God before the foundations of the world. That means that in that realm, and in that day, and in that existence, God was still king, because He was the one that was saddled with the responsibility, and He had the audacity to decide to choose us. We are not here because you yielded to Christ on the crusade ground. Paul is saying that there is something more than what happened on the crusade ground that led to your being yielded to God in the crusade ground. Paul is saying that you were chosen in God even before the foundations of the world. That was why it was possible for you in the first place to accept God on the crusade ground. Hallelujah. He brings a different perspective from what we are used to. Because somebody will think that he found God. But from the standpoint of what Paul is saying, God found you. And He knew you even before you had form and shape. And He had already chosen you, even though He had the opportunity not to choose you. You know, what does it mean to choose? It means that there are several alternatives, several options. But God, by an act of His authority, decided to choose you. And the Bible says, Paul still speaking, trying to reach back into the heart of God to see the mysteries and the secrets that were manipulating in the heart of God that gave birth to our place in God. Are you with me now? So the Bible says, chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. And then on the basis of the fact that He had chosen us, what exactly did He choose us for? Paul still went further and revealed that we were chosen and predestined by God. Now, are you still with me? Okay. Don't worry, you will understand. You will understand as we go on. We were chosen. It is because we were chosen that He predestined us to be sons, His sons. Now, so I want you to follow me. Say, our being chosen and our being predestined took place in eternity past. Now, our being chosen and our being predestined took place in eternity past. Alright? I will now show you the part of the template that took place in time. If that which took place in eternity did not take place, that which is going to take place in time cannot take place. Are you with me now? So the Bible says, first of all, He chose us in Himself before the foundations of the world. Secondly, the Bible says that God in eternity past also predestinated us that we will become His sons. And the Bible still went further to say that everything that God has done and all the administrative arrangement He has put in place in order to gain sons is in keeping with a desire that He has in His heart. Help me with the board. Help me. Help me with the board. Hallelujah. I want you to see how vast God is, how powerful, how wise God is. Hallelujah. Because when we begin to study the eternal purpose of God, you find that first of all, in order for us to understand what God is doing now, God must have to take us back to understand that which was going on in His heart before now came. Because if you don't get to understand what went on God's heart, you'll be wrong on the ground. You'll not be accurate on the ground because you will not know where you are coming from. Until you understand what God wants to achieve, you cannot be accurate on the ground. So Paul is taking us into eternity past, and he wants us to perceive some things. First of all, our being chosen, our being chosen and our being predestinated took place in eternity past, and our being chosen and our being predestinated is so that we will be sons, God's children, and God's desire for us to be sons is in keeping with a desire in his heart, which when fulfilled will give God pleasure. Are you following me now? I say our being chosen and our being predestinated took place where? In eternity past. And the purpose of our predestination and the purpose of God's choice of us is so that we can be his sons. And being his sons is actually a desire that he has sustained in his heart, which when fulfilled will give him pleasure. Do you get it? Are you with me? If you study your Bible critically, you come to realize that there were very few times that God expressed pleasure, that God expressed satisfaction. Are you still with me? Very few times. Especially if you come into the New Testament and you begin to study, you will find out that there are exceptionally very few times when God expressed satisfaction. When God said, I'm pleased about this. When God said, I'm okay with this. When God, because that which can please God is exactly that which God desires that becomes fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, let me come again. Please, if you get this, you'll be accurate on the ground. For instance, let me use this example, please, but the example does not mean anything. Okay? Let's say my brother Paul, man, Paulo, is a handsome young man. Look upon him, he just has the exact height, the exact temperament. And maybe somehow in a dream, he beholds a damsel in a dream. Please don't see him after the service. I'm just explaining. Brother Paul beholds a damsel in a dream, and maybe in the dream, God now says, behold thy damsel. If Paul comes on the ground, and then because I'm his pastor and I love him so much, and I say, Paul, I have a damsel for you. This damsel is the best damsel. Please come. And Paul now sees this damsel that I'm recommending to him. It is not exactly in conformity with that which he has seen. It will not satisfy the need that vision has created, and it cannot give him pleasure. Do you get it now? So anything that happens on the ground that is not in conformity with that which hails from the heart of God will not give God pleasure. And that's why you find out that not too many times in Scripture does God come and say, my God, I'm pleased. And by the time we roll through and scroll through the New Testament, the first time you will hear that God say, I am pleased, is when? Good. I'm still preaching exactly what I preached yesterday, but I will keep showing you in layers until your eyes will see something that will guide you through destiny. Amen. The same thing, but on a different level. But today I want to take my time so that you understand a lot of things are anchored on this. A lot of things are anchored on what I want to share today. Because you may not understand that there is a portrait that God has in his heart concerning what your life should be, even before you showed up here. I heard a preacher preaching, and the preacher was saying that, sorry, because of my call, amen, for those of you that don't know, because of my call, God told me some things. Hallelujah. As part of my call, I'm called to expose anything that is not in line with God's way. Do you understand? So I make a lot of examples and I do all of that. not because I want to discredit somebody, but it is my duty to make you see. Hallelujah. And I have authority to do it under Jesus. And it's not a work of the flesh, it's a call from Jesus. And there's grace to do it so that you will see. Amen? Alright. The preacher was talking about you dreaming. Dream. Putting on your dream machine. Alright? And dream of something big so that you will pursue it, you pay the price, and then you achieve it. Alright? But you see, as you come to see very soon, that is a recipe for a soulish man. That's a recipe for a soulish man, because your life did not begin in your soul. Your life began in God. And except your life takes its bearing from God, your life is an error in time. Oh, Jesus. Are you following me? It must take its bearing from where? That's where you get your definition from. That's where you get your purpose from. If you miss seeing it accurately as it is on the heart of God, there is no way you can be accurate on the ground. Did you get it? And so, I have been chosen and I have been predestinated, took place in eternity past. And the reason for our predestination is so that we can be sons of God. And this vision of God to bring us into sonship is in accordance with his desire, which is that which can give him pleasure. You see, that's what Paul is trying to say. But I need to say something quickly here. The only problem I have with this template is this. Because we need to qualify this. And so there's another scripture that supports what Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. That other scripture now gives us the dimensions and the scope of what God was making reference to. And if we can look upon that scripture, the balance of these sons, which has to do with us, is going to find expression. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. I said previously that if you look upon scripture critically, you come to realize that not too many times did God say, I am pleased. But notice that when Jesus went to John the Baptist, baptismal service, and he was baptized, and when he came out of the water, the Bible reveals that the heavens were rent, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and rested upon him. And instantly, God spoke out of heaven. I don't know how that voice was. I don't know whether it was in the spirit realm or he decided to speak audibly for everybody at the baptismal site to hear. But anyhow it was, at least we're able to capture in scripture that God gave an utterance and said, this man is my beloved son in whom I'm well. Indicative of the fact. What do we pick from that scripture? One of the things that can please God is when he sees a son. Oh, you are not with me. You know, for many years, when God taught me these things, for many years, I didn't have the words to communicate it. And I kept dying inside. I kept dying inside. See, to be strong in the spirit is not a difficult thing, but there are many things about God's dealings and God's operations that you need to know, then you get this secret of the spiritual life. It's not a difficult thing, but you need to, there are several dimensions of knowledge you need to acquire so that you be balanced. And when you capture some of these things, you see, the devil is not as strong as you think, actually. It's our ignorance that has empowered him. Many years, God taught me some things. I couldn't communicate it. That was when I discovered that God will have to give you the wisdom to communicate any truth. If not, the more you try to communicate it without the enablement of the Lord to so do, you might bring darkness upon the heart of men instead of light.
and I struggled with that as a teacher for several years. Hallelujah. Basic things. So we understand from that scripture that one of the things that gives God pleasure, and the major thing that gives God pleasure, is when He sees His sons. You get it? And just so that we will not be confused about what kind of son we are talking about here, Romans chapter 8 comes to the rescue. Are you with me now? In Romans chapter 8, turn your Bible. Let's try to articulate a few things. Romans chapter 8. How I wish one Saturday would just wake up, come here by 9 for a teaching that will last till 4 p.m. Then we can draw a line. You will see that the Old Testament and the New Testament is just the same thing. It's the same thing. And the Bible is the only book I know that does not contradict itself. Because I can show you portions of the Quran that contradict. I can show you portions. You will see it. This one says this, that one says that. And if English means anything at all, these two things don't agree. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bible. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, please come with me. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, the Bible says, for whom He foreknew. Now, you check that word now. Hey, you are not with me. You are not with me. Foreknew means what? Help me. Somebody help me. Huh? Philip. Philip is doing like this. Means there is a revelation inside of him. Yeah, what does it mean? To foreknow something. What does it mean? They say, for whom He what? Foreknew. The past. He's talking about eternity past. So we have come to this point again. Because these two things took place where? So, for whom He did foreknow, them He also what? So, this foreknowing now, we can call it what? Can you see it now? And then, them He did what? Is it the same thing? What is the vision? So that what will happen? To be confirmed what? Now, do you see now that these sons have been qualified? The sons, the Bible is talking about not just people that are just born again, but people that have experienced something and their life is beginning to tally with the expression that was in Christ Jesus. You get it? I know you don't get it. You don't know the implication of that statement. In the book of Genesis, what is the blueprint that we studied yesterday? Let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. And you know, dominion is a kingdom word. So what God was offering to man in Eden was not salvation, but dominion. Was dominion was what? Kingdom, government, all of that. That's what God offered Adam. Is this salvation he offered him? And let them have salvation. He offered him kingdom. A realm that God was the governor. And on the strength of that, because if I push you now to the book of Psalms 82, from verse 5 and 6, 7, you will see it there, where it says, I have said, ye are gods, but ye are children of the Most High God. So the basis of the expression of their dominion was linked to the degree of their submission to the sovereignty of God. God was inviting them to a realm where through their submission to Him, they will have dominion on earth. It doesn't matter how long it takes as you yield to the dealings of God to bring you to that point He wants to bring you to. Your life must express that dominion. Because if in the days of Jesus, He dominated everything by operating the divine life, it will happen to you naturally too as you grow in the divine life and as you begin to diminish in your yielding to human life, dominion begins to naturally find expression. Are you with me now? Now, so this point I want to raise and I want to really emphasize it. The two scriptures are related. In fact, they're talking about the same thing. But the book of Romans affords us some more details on this issue. It talks about sons that are what? That are conformed to the image of what? The firstborn son. This scripture is revealing to us that Jesus has become the pattern man. And the process of God's dealings in your life is intended to bring you into conformity with what Jesus was. So that just as God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, God can say, this is my beloved son, is well pleasing to me. Why? Because Christ inside of you has developed to a point where the attributes of God are being manifested through your life, and your life is bearing the testimony of God. So this word conform, if you have done elementary chemistry, you come to discover that it's a radical word. It means that we are trying to change the configuration. And the extent to which we want to alter the configuration is so that it will conform to an existing pattern. Do you get it? Omar, are you here? Now, if what I'm saying is so difficult, you cannot perceive it, you can't imagine it, let me see your hand up. We'll find out the point of your confusion and we'll try to, as much as God has given us the grace, to bring understanding to you. Anybody in the class that is out of the class? In trying to conform to something, first of all, there is a pattern that you are conforming to. And then the conformation process is a process of applying consistent pressure. And the pressure will not stop until you have arrived at the reference molecule. Are you here now? So Christ being the pattern man, and then we are being conformed to His image. And I said yesterday that which God calls man is what Christ manifested. So the dream that God had, let us make man, came to manifestation the day Christ was manifested. Because Christ was that being, was that man that did not carry the image of man, but he carried the image of God. And because of that, he expressed God, he didn't express man. When he spoke, it was God he was expressing. When he laid his hands on people, it was God that was expressed. When he came and ate with people, the impression he left on their hearts was the impression that God will leave if he were physically present there. Because he was in the image of God, he could not do any less. At the least, he will manifest God. At best, he will manifest God. And there's nothing different from that because he is in the template of the image of God. Do you get it now? And I said our crisis is that before we received the God life, we had developed our soul life to a point where our soul life becomes the machinery by which we express ourselves. And unfortunately, by the instrumentality of our soul life, we express ourselves and we becloud God. And hence, the need for the cross. You see that? The cross becomes the instrument by which the confirmation will be achieved. And it happens to be that the cross is not a very palatable gospel. It's not a reigning gospel. But I tell you the truth, in my Bible study about 7 years ago, I was able to stumble upon several things in Scripture, which if we take seven things, if we remove it from New Testament preaching and teaching, from Bible preaching and teaching, we are no longer preaching the Bible. For instance, the Lord will help us. And one of such things is the cross. Because Paul was actually careful the way he ordered his speech and the way he explained the things that he knew. And one of the reasons for his constraints was that he didn't want the cross of Christ to be in vain. That means there's a possibility of preaching, and you exempt the cross from your preaching, and that your preaching will make our faith vain. Because we have come to study and to realize, and we bless God for making that clear to our hearts, that the cross is central to the achievement of God's dream. Because it's by the cross that the confirmation is achieved. And if we cannot be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, it means that God's desire cannot find expression and God will not have pleasure in us. Hallelujah. Amen. Revealing to us that Christ is our pattern man. And just in case your life does not tally with the life of Christ in several issues, is because you have not yet yielded to the cross in those areas. And in those areas, you are manifesting Adam. Because there are only two alternatives of what can be. It's either that you are giving memory to Adam or you are manifesting Christ. And that's why we have Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, and Romans chapter 8. Whereas Romans chapter 5 speaks about the possibilities that we are bound if we operate in Adam. Romans chapter 6 speaks about the possibilities that we are bound if we operate in Christ. Romans chapter 7 speaks about what happens when we operate in the flesh. Romans chapter 8 speaks about what happens when we operate in the spirit. And we see that there's a contrast and a comparison. Because if we operate in the flesh, we are living Adam. If you operate in the spirit, you are living Christ. You know, some time ago in my experience as a Bible teacher, I came to a point in teaching the people. Some people now said that all this thing pastor is preaching every day, talks about spirit, spirit, spirit. Is Bible all about spirit? Check the book of Proverbs. How many times is the word spirit mentioned? And then they fail to understand that wisdom is not from the plane of the mind, that wisdom is a spirit, and wisdom can teach, and wisdom can speak, and wisdom can guide, and it's a spirit. The New Testament economy is an economy that is expressed in form of spirit and not in form of flesh. You can see somebody that is very balanced in his thinking. And if he sits down now and analyzes an issue, you will like his analysis. But such a man, without the spirit, is a hindrance to the move of God. So what we are talking about here, the strength, the reinforcement that Christ releases into you so that you have ability to live beyond the limits of your humanity are all dispensed into you in form of spirit and not in form of flesh. Because when you function by the flesh, you are giving memory and expression to Adam. When you function by the spirit, you are giving memory and expression to Christ. And so we have a conflict. And the conflict that we have is the conflict of Just as I mentioned yesterday, the two personalities that reside inside of you. In your soul resides you in you. That is a human being in you. In your spirit, if you are born again here, resides Christ in you. That's the divinity in you. Hallelujah. Amen. And every situation that befalls you, there is an attempt from the you in you to gain mastery and express itself from his own perspective and plane in the context of the given situation. Hallelujah. And also, the same situation triggers a response from God in you. You get it? Okay, now, let's go into the teaching proper now. Since you have gotten into that point. Jesus, if we read the Gospels, book of Matthew, book of John, you will see several times that Jesus now begins to recommend to us several things that are inevitable in our lives if our lives will conform to his own example. You get it? Several inevitable steps that must be part and parcel of our spiritual journey if our spiritual journey will be in keeping with his own journey. Because our life, we can see our life in him because he is the syllabus of the journey that we are walking. Do you get it? You don't get it. You are not seeing it here. To be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, it means that the firstborn son has attained to the fullness. The climax is the description of the perfection of that journey, and you are on that journey now. So when the Bible speaks in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 now says, looking on to Jesus, I studied it carefully, I checked the Greek word, and I interpreted it, and it interpreted to mean diligently looking at Jesus. Attentively observing Jesus. Do you get it? Or you don't get it? Because this weekend, the theme is behold the man. Behold the man. I saw you by the time we begin to journey. Many of us don't know this man. And it happens to be that this man is actually the description of the syllabus of the spiritual journey that we are walking, and many of us do not behold him, but we are expecting that someday we'll take a pill, a capsule, and just wake up, and then you are just like Jesus. If it were like that, I would have bought extra pills. I'll take one in the morning time, take one in the night time. If it were that you just take a drug and sleep and wake up and you'll be like Jesus, I'll take overdose. My God. And then when you just come out, you speak right. When pressure is brought to bear upon you, oh my God, you just speak clean. Say, no, it's not for me. If my kingdom were of this world, I would have fought to preserve myself, but my kingdom is not of this world. So you can do the best you can. You only help me fulfill my destiny. That's Jesus. You are not like that naturally. Somebody is insulting you constantly, trying to frustrate you constantly. Your natural response to that will be you create an atmosphere of counterattack. And a lot of us love those options better. Actually, we're skilled in those options. And then Jesus now came and said, if you will be my disciple, you will follow in my steps. Something you cannot avoid. Then the issue of the cross that you raised now came up. Alright? So in looking unto Jesus, one of the things that we cannot escape is one, what? The cross. If you are a preacher here, I know a lot of us here are eventually going to be preachers in one way or the other. Maybe you are a bank preacher, or a civil service preacher, or a full mission preacher, or somehow I know that most guys must be preaching something here. But in the day of your preaching, if the cross is out of it, what you are preaching is a lie. I will show you the danger and the kind of preaching that evolves that has excluded the cross. What it does to the saints, what they become, the hope of this confirmation is skillfully and deliberately avoided. And the destinies of many people will be marginalized on the basis of that kind of preaching. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Many people's destiny. Imagine, and that we never get to see the strength of the Lord, because the extent to which God prevails on you, so that you'll be bringing to death daily those advances of your humanity that wants to capture the moment and give expression to Adam, the more he prevails on you to put to death those advances of your humanity, the more divinity inside of you replaces that humanity that wants to express, and you begin to gain mastery in the exhibition of divinity. I tell you the truth, you don't need to fast and pray for power. In that expression is dominion. In that expression is power. Oh, my father, you become a powerful man. Yes, we know that this terrain, especially in the Middle Belt, known for witchcraft and for the power of the occult and all of that, if all of us here walk that way, you don't need extra prayers to handle the devil around your life. And even if you are sleeping, you are powerful. And so God is pleased when he sees his sons, because it will satisfy the hidden desire that he had in his heart. Thank God for prophets like Paul. He actually entered by revelation into the heart of God and downloaded these things in the book of Ephesians. And in those books, those six chapters, I enshrined the eternal purpose of God. And if you don't get to see the heart of God, you'll be wrong on the ground. Can we go back to Romans 8? Amen? Romans 8, are you still there? 29. Anybody who was helping us with the reading the other time? Behold the man! You know, when you hear Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he's preaching had a historical perspective. His preaching had a political perspective. So many things were mingled into the things that he said, but his true message came when he said, "This Jesus." What he was doing and what constitutes an evangelical message is a presentation. That's what constitutes it. When because I heard a preacher preach, and he preached and preached, spoke about the new Honda Accord, how many valves. The balance, the shock absorbers. He spoke about it in reference to Lamborghini. And at the end of the sermon, he said, if you want to give your life to Jesus. Jesus was never presented. Where did they see him to catch a revelation of him in the heart? But somebody came to the altar call that day. To what did he come? This Jesus. So that everybody will behold the man. At every point in time when your vision becomes blurred and you don't get to see him in your face, you are wrong on the ground. I think we need a rebirth of the portrait of the Christ within our hearts. So that by it, a plumb line will exist in our hearts. So much so that when you do something and you know this is not in keeping with the nature of Jesus, instantly you will shrink without a preacher and ask God for mercy, because you have strayed out of the plumb line and you have come back to repent. Because Jesus you behold every day, Jesus you see every day. He said, "This Jesus, behold the man." Hallelujah. As we move into the conference, we'll talk about the man from the book of Revelation. Because 26 revelations of him were given in that book, and we'll take our time to work on it. Then you find out why there's poverty of spirit in the Christianity of our generation, because he's devoid of an understanding of this Jesus. You will see. It's easy to walk in power. Very easy. It's part of your call of dominion. And I don't know any other way to express dominion. No other way. But that there are contrary forces around. And you show up and they are humble. I don't know any other way to talk about dominion. It means it's a call of power. to operate from a plane of power so that enemies can submit. But this is a path to power. Hallelujah. We have done crusades before. Gone out, I've seen people that know how to heal people on the crusade ground, and when they come back from the crusade ground, demons tie their neck like that. That's not the story of dominion. Something is missing, my friend. This Jesus, we are going to see the infirmities of our Christian life as we take the binoculars. You know the binoculars. And we look upon Jesus. You just find something that is in him that is not in you. And it's the syllabus of this journey. So you are just to accommodate him. If you see him well, you'll be healthy. You'll be healthy. Who is helping us now? Romans 8. Let's finish that scripture. Loud reader. Loud reader. Anybody helping us now? Romans 8, 29. No, I don't like your translation. It's not for this class. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, because God has already established him as the firstborn, and all the other brethren must take his pattern. Alright? Now check the other scripture. Next verse. Now watch this. We stopped here. For no predestinate. Are you with me now? And all of this took where? Took place where? Eternity past. Do you understand it now? So in keeping with that which was already established in eternity past, God is moving into time now. Read now. Okay. Wait. For no. Alright. Predestinate. And then what? Called. Go on. Justified. Alright. This is the syllabus of the Christian faith. I pray God will give us time to stretch this thing out. You know, He has given us time already. Glorify. Amen. Are you still with me now? So what is? The foreknowing and the predestination took place where? In eternity past. Then, this is what occasioned our calling and our justification took place in time. And then our glorification will take place in eternity future. Because you are a being of eternity. You are not a being of time. You began before the foundations of the earth. You had an expression and a manifestation in time. And the ultimate manifestation of your existence is... Now, we'll take time to run that thing through. This is what forms the full scope of the path of spiritual progress from regeneration to renewing, to transformation, to confirmation, to glorification. That's the path of spiritual progress. That's the journey for every man that is walking under God through Christ. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But I want you to understand now, the calling and the justification took place in time. It means that our calling, that thing you felt on the crusade ground that made you say yes to Jesus, you thought it began there. No! If you were not, it didn't foreknow you, if it didn't choose you, if it didn't predestine you, that will not happen. Do you get it? It won't happen. You just come to the crusade ground and it will make no meaning to you. And just like you see several people, their wife is born again, is a prayer man, prayer fire, and he doesn't just... But if you pray, one day his eyes will just be open. You say, why was I doing like this? But even that realization is a function of the fact that God had foreknown him. Don't think you are creative in time. We are punished on God's chessboard, and you can only do that which God has allowed. I know you can't understand that. I know you say, yes, I'm a free moral agent, and you know it's what I want to do that I get to do. I will show you some scriptures, and you find out that your free moral agency is not superior to the power of predestination. You know, Noah thought, is it Noah? Jonah. Thank you. Jonah thought that he was disobeying God. Abi? Say, okay, God, you want me to do this? No, I'm not going to do that. And then he ended up where? The belly of the whale. And then do you notice that when Jesus was trying to explain to the people the sign that he will give them? What was the sign he gave them? He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. So even in Jonah's rebellion, he was fulfilling a pattern. It's God that allowed it. Because Jesus needs to make reference to it. He allowed it. So that thing he called his stubbornness. I don't want to go into that. It will confuse you. It will confuse you. I know. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, from verse 28 to verse 31, where the apostles began to quote, he said, even Pontius Pilate and Herod, why do they hid in rage? And then they now mention something. I said, they did that which. Can we go there? Sorry. I don't have it offhand. Where are we? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. Please, turn with me. Acts 4. Alright, Acts 4:28. But let's take 27. He said, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. To what? To do what? To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined what? Before to be done. Do you realize that the devil is under lock and key? It's only that which will satisfy the purpose of God that God will allow him to do. That's why I need you to understand that irrespective of anything you go through, God is not against you. In final analysis, if we know the motivation behind the situation from the heart of God, you will see His love at work, trying to achieve something, trying to bring out something. But see, many times we in time don't get to see that which was predestined in eternity. That's the conflict. That's the conflict. Time is the conflict. But our calling and our justification took place in time. But our glorification will take place in eternity future. But this, what occasioned this pattern, began where? Before the foundations of the world. He said the guys took their swords, took their shield, were piercing Jesus and doing all of that. The Bible says that God had already ordained it so to do. So in the best of their rage, they were only able to perform what God had already ordained to happen. Anytime you pray, pray with the knowledge of God's sovereignty in mind. Do you realize that sometimes Israel will sin, God will not allow some nations to deal with them, and if the nation deals with them more than the one God permitted, Israel has repented, but he will deal with the nation. It means the nation added that one. He didn't serve God's purpose, so he will. When God allows a fleshly man to travail your life, to press your life, so that his good works will increase, because he has found you to be a worthy vessel that he wants to prune for greater service, and he allows a fleshly man put the pressure upon you, and then the man, by reason of his own hatred, now put more pressure than necessary. Well, guess God will get a good vessel. But after that, God will locate. You understand what I'm talking about? I've seen it happen many times. A brother in the fellowship felt I was the only problem he had. That if he ends up discrediting me and discrediting my ministry before the people, he would have succeeded. And God allowed him. If I wanted to take knife and kill him, God would say, your wilderness journey will be extended. I say, oh. The thing will pay me. I will want to take dagger. He say, your journey will be extended. So for fear that my journey will be extended, I was bearing the pain until one scripture came to me, casting all your cares upon him. That's how I learned how to manage pressure. When it comes, I cast it out and I'm free. And it was only because of that revelation I was able to survive the season that God wanted me to be chastened so that I will enter another level in grace. But the guy dealt with me more than God wanted. But God ushered me to the level anyway. But at the end of the day, God stretches that guy. He has not survived till today. God does not judge quicko, but if he judges, hey. Do you get it now? Just in case somebody has his own, he will not go free. Because it's only that which God has ordained that can come to pass. And just in case the person goes beyond it, he has even helped you some more. And some spiritual levels, you have been exempted from those steps because the grace that will come upon your life, because you have gained more stature in God, so more grace can come into your vessel because you will be exhibiting more of divinity on the account of that process, and it will not be a loss. It will all be for good. That's what the Bible means when it says, and we know that all things, when we say all things, we need bitter things plus good things mingling together to produce maturity. If you are cooking stew, you know, Maggi is bitter. Salt is bitter. Maybe you can eat bitter leaf and not spill it out. When you mix bitter things and mix sweet things, and then you produce what? Sweet stew. That's what he said. All things. The devil meant it for evil, but God can transform it and produce a good thing from your life because he wants us to be conformed. Tell your neighbor you are not about to die. And the pressure that is upon you is working out something. The Bible says that concerning Jesus, that because of the glory that was set before him, he gathered momentum. He was able to endure the cross and he was able to go beyond the shame. It means that by the dealings of God, he became bigger than the problem. That's when you get to be promoted. When the problem does not mean anything, it means you are weary the devil, you are weary Satan, you are weary darkness, and the darkness has nothing to say but to give you an allowance to move to the next level. You are coming out in the name of Jesus Christ. You are coming out. You are coming out. Oh, it's time up. We have to pray now. Tell your neighbor, if Jesus prayed, you will pray. And in fact, the prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane, he did not understand the response of God. As he was praying, it was as if heaven was not responding. It was as if God was not answering. There are several times you will pray, and it's as if God is not answering. Stay there! Stay there. Stay there. That's how we gain power with God. When a man refuses to quit, even though there's no reason for him to stay, he gains stature in the realm of the Spirit. And if such a man says, if I be a man of God, heaven will respond. Rise up, let's pray tonight. Let's pray tonight. I want you to behold the man. Because God wants to form something out of your life. He wants to fashion something out of your life. The devil cannot bring you to an end because he didn't begin you. If you give God half a chance, the spirit of power will be glorified. The spirit of grace will find expression. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. We yield to your spirit. We yield to your voice. We yield to your way. Laboko to moko sakabalahaya. Laboko to senda magadede gaskamanda. Labraska bebobo sanda. Friends, there is a yonder. There is a yonder in God. There is a place, a path that fowls do not know, that the vulture's eyes have not seen, that the lion's webs have not trodden, that the fierce lions have never passed by.
There are levels in God. There are dimensions in the Holy Ghost. There's power in God. He said, come upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I know, God, that there's something you're building in my life. I know, oh God, that there's something you're crafting out in my life. I know. That your thoughts concerning me are thoughts of good and not thoughts of evil. I know that something good is going to come out of this. I know that your spirit is going to take the glory. I know that my son will bow, my time will come, my day will come, that my name will be spoken, and that Joseph, I'll come up out of my hiding, I'll ascend the throne, because I've yielded to you, and something good will come out of this. I'm not going to do that.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Quickly, as we raise the last prayer point for the night. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you know how limited the devil is in scripture, he will come out. He will come out. First Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to begin to read from verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the ages. That wisdom took effect before the foundations of the world, and it's for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It means that, you know, the Bible says that this wisdom has been since the ages, and that was the wisdom that guided the manifestation of Jesus, because he was a lamb that was slain from where? So it was already established in the purpose of God that will be. And so when he came to do just that, it was that wisdom that was at work that the princes of this world did not know, and when they thought they killed him, they only set him free.
This is the revelation. We that have been predestinated by God have come enshrined by a hidden mystery of wisdom. And that man or that devil that thinks he can put the praise upon you is actually dealing with a secret wisdom. And the more he tries to destroy you, the more he helps you fulfill your destiny. If you understand this, even when it seems as if situations are hard, it will only make me better. I know it. I know. That's why David will say, my foes don't laugh now. I'm going through repackaging and processing. And when I stand again, I will have the strength of ten men. God can never be against you. When I realize that, it doesn't matter what I go through, my mind is healthy. The way I see the situation, the perspective from whence I see it is different. That wisdom guides everything that comes from the realm of eternity into time to manifest. That wisdom is at work in your life right now. And that which the devil thinks will cross you will only make you a fortress, a city that is upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Because there's a wisdom at work. They say, okay, let's kill Jesus now and put him out of the way. But the Bible says to this moment they are regretting that if they have known that this thing was orchestrated from the studio, they would have let Jesus old. They would have allowed him no old till he just old, because he won't die. It's the word that came, he will not be old like that. Old, old, old. And the purpose of God would have been hindered. But they helped to facilitate the purpose, because there was a wisdom at work. The Bible revealed that wisdom has been a wisdom for the ages. The princes of this world were not created when that wisdom was instituted, so they cannot understand it. The best that the devil will do, we only set you upon another pedestal. That is the wisdom that the Bible says, eyes have not seen. It says, ears have not heard it. It has not even occurred on the heart of man. It is a mystery. It is hidden. It is not yet known. It's not yet revealed. For if the princes of this world have known, then who have crucified the Lord of God? You are coming out. But when you come out better. You come out stronger. You come out refined. Every time the devil teams up with fleshly people to assault you, tell your foes, don't rejoice. Don't rejoice now, because I will rise again. I want you to don't declare it to yourself. I will rise again. I will rise again. I will rise again. I will rise again. The story cannot come to an end until I rise. The devil cannot last laugh. There is something that God is working out. Even though I don't seem to understand, I know that I will rise. I will rise. I will rise again. I will rise again. La Cotosta Puta Balagazel. Your journey cannot end here. The story is not yet complete. There's something missing. Your masculinity is missing. Your victory is missing. The dimensions of the glory of God over your life is missing. It cannot end here. I will rise. I will rise. I will rise. I will rise again. I will rise again. I
to the obedience of Jesus Christ. God is doing something. He's walking behind the scene. His mighty hand is doing something in my life, and I will rise again.
Let me tell you something quickly, because I want to pray a prayer now. Please don't give in under that pressure. Don't give in. What is ahead is bigger. It's even bigger than the problem. It's bigger. Don't give in. There were many times I felt like quitting when the pressure, God allowed the devil. You know, when you start becoming a worthy servant, God will allow pruning, purging. And He does that to those He loves, so that He can make you more effective in service. So He will allow something. Don't get it wrong. Don't think it's because God is wicked. Don't get it wrong. Because if you get it wrong, the devil will use it to cripple you, and you'll not know how to respond accurately. That's what Job did not know, that he began to ask why. It's a wisdom that comes from eternity. Even your mind is too little to understand it. So, friends, there are times that your understanding will be unfruitful. It's part of the journey. At that time, when you can't understand again, just trust God. Trust and go.
trust and go on. Trust. Let trust hold you. Say, yes, God cannot be against me, so I will continue. The Bible says that Sarah received strength to bring forth because she judged him faithful who had promised. There was no way to know how it would happen. So when she didn't know what to think again, she just trusted God. I see the heavens open. A white handkerchief is coming down from heaven. Somebody is about to be released from a season in his life. The hand of God will come down. That's what I'm saying. The devil is not as strong as he is, as we think. Because of the depth of the wisdom of God that he manifests. At the end of the day, the devil works for God. He works for God. Yes, because of the depth, that mystery, that wisdom is enshrined in a mystery that the devil does not know. Because of that, the devil, by that wisdom, works for God. Please rise, rise. I want to know who God is liberating. Liberating something. Something will fall on you from heaven. We fall on you from heaven. Oh, Salen and the basket on man there. A handkerchief, a white cloth is coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven right now. The hand of God will come upon you at the count of five. And that handkerchief will drop. And all the things, you will feel it. You may not fall, but you will feel it. You will feel the power of God upon you. Yes, I'm seeing now in the spirit that it's more than one person. You will feel the hand of God upon you. At the count of five, say, I receive from God. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. It's coming. Oh my God, it's coming. Oh, 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 oh. Yes, yes, it's coming stronger, 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 stronger. Holy Ghost! Gebabose. It's coming. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Let grace come from heaven. Grace from heaven. Grace. Aha. 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 Aha, 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 aha. Sabina kaskata mina gadali abranta babolokoske. Samina dade, sade, sade. La patoko tobokote, aha. Samina kanta, 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 kanta. Kalambolokoskama. Yes, 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 yes.
It's
coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven. It's coming. It's coming from heaven. It's from heaven. It's from heaven. From heaven. From heaven. From heaven. From heaven. It's coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven.
Shaliman de Bastala Bahaya. Shapopoliman Tire. Shabrikas Katembo. Atabakata Babo Salima.
It's coming from heaven. Help me lift her. Lift. Just lift her from. Oh my God, there's a lady. Holy Ghost. Which lady are you talking about? Holy Ghost. Oh my God. Oh. Thank you. In Jesus' name. There is a golden sandal that I see now. Golden. One of us in the future to come is going to be a mighty politician. And right now, God is giving you a gold. You are here now. The person I'm talking, you are here now. A golden sandal. Rombe tako sakute balakade. Marandes kombra makatu alabata. Thank you.